For the Sake of the Gospel by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What a wonderful chapter this is, as the apostle is sharing some important truths with these believers at Corinth. Remember, the apostle had spent a year and a half there. And that's unusual for the apostle to spend that much time there. And I believe that many of these disciples were led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. Remember the Apostle, he worked as a tent maker. Today he would probably be a house builder, because that's kind of the same profession. Not too many people live in tents today unless they're camping out or doing some other project like that. I can't think of any other reason you would live in a tent. But they used tents a lot because they were a nomadic people. They moved all over the country. That was their practice. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the old fathers used to be individuals who lived in tents. Why? Because they had flocks and herds, and they followed them all over that country over there. Have you ever seen the Holy Land or pictures of the Holy Land and the area that they went in? Boy, it looks like sparse to me. It looks worse than western Kansas. It more reminds me of northern New Mexico in a dry, dry summer. Right? Yeah. So we had the privilege to listen to some good commentary on Scripture, and this individual could share that, and he had pictures of all that, where he went, and he talked about all of the things that went along with living in that land, a nomadic land where they lived in tents and looked for shade, and there was none. No, on a hot day, I look for shade, too. It's just a little cooler in the shade, and I look for a little breeze. A little breeze. And there's been very little breeze in this country for quite a while. That's unusual, by the way. Usually, we have a 15 to 20 mile an hour breeze. In some parts of the country, they think that's a wind, but we call it a breeze here because we have nice winds of 50 and 60 mile an hour regularly. And they usually come along with the thunderstorms and all that. And hopefully we miss those extraordinary winds that sometimes we get in Kansas along with those thunderstorms. We really don't like the wind. The name says Land of the South Wind. But, you know, right now we're not living up to our name. But just wait a while. It'll change. And we begin to pray now for rain because we believe we're going into a dry period. I do anyway. Been in Kansas long enough. We know the signs, and hopefully we know the signs of Christ coming. I hope we're prepared for that particular time. In the meantime, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Paul had served in Corinth. Now he's writing back to this particular body of believers. He wants them to know certain things. He wants them to live the way they ought to live. It's important for believers to know what the Word of God says. But we also have some guidance in that, in understanding God's Word. Since now, like not in the past, remember in the past the Holy Spirit would come upon people at different times, give them special insight, special understanding. Now when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, that is after Christ has come to the earth and become our Savior, and He says, I'll go to the Father, I'll send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and He'll be with you and He'll live inside of you. So each one of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. He's there to guide you, to teach you, to show you things you ought to do, and be that still, small voice that says this way or that way. Our task is to listen to the Holy Spirit. You see, the problem is sometimes there's another spirit in the world, and that spirit will be trying to tell you something else. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always lines up with the Word of God. He teaches us the Word of God. He helps us to walk in the ways that we ought to walk in. He gives us special gifts. I'm so glad for him. Now, the Apostle Paul was a rather different individual. He would go to an area, he'd preach the gospel. That was his practice. And he would work during the week. He'd take opportunities to declare God's truth and preach about Jesus Christ. That was his main task. And let's look at our scripture, verse 19 of chapter number 9. Though I be free from all men, in other words, I'm not a servant to men, I'm free. Christ has set me free. If Christ will set you free, the scripture says, you shall be free indeed. In fact, that's a quote from Jesus. If Christ will set you free, you shall be free indeed. So Paul knew that Christ had set him free, but he was free to be a servant to all, just like Christ was a servant to all. The scripture says concerning Christ, he came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. And so Christ came preaching the gospel and declaring his truth to the world in which he lives. And so Paul, following Christ, does the same thing. He's a servant to all. Christ came not to be ministered unto, but rather to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Christ died for us. He gave his life so that we could live. You see, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and what that gained for us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God promises salvation to all who receive his offer presented to them. Paul says, though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant to all, that I might gain more. In other words, I become as a servant to all individuals I meet, so that I might gain more of them to Christ. He follows that saying this, to the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew, to them that are under the law, that I might gain them. To them that are without the law, verse 21, as without law, being made without law to God, but under the law to Christ. I'm under Christ's law. I'm his servant. I'm serving him day and night. Whether I'm working, but whether I'm preaching and proclaiming Christ, I am a servant to all individuals I meet. I seek to meet their need. What is man's greatest need? His need is salvation. We're all lost without Christ, but with Christ, we can be saved. What a wonderful thing to know. What a wonderful thing to share. And Paul said, I become all things, verse 23, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul's objective is to reach people, to let them know there is a Savior, to let them know they can be saved. God wants all people to be saved. Will all people be saved? No. No, they won't. But God makes it possible that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People say, that's too simple, that's too simple. Oh, God's got to make it simple for simpletons like me. God's got to make it simple so that I can understand that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. There's but one between us and God. That's the man Christ Jesus. Christ came to give his life for us so that we could live. Wouldn't matter if I died for my sin. I'd just be gaining what I deserved. But if Christ died in my place, his death yields all the value of all the lives, all the souls' value in earth. You see, Christ died for us. He who is of infinite worth died for us so that our penalty, the penalty for our sin, could be paid. What is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. But I'm glad for the buts in the Bible. That means there's something else. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're saved by grace through faith. We don't deserve what God gives us. Don't deserve it. But God gives it anyway when we trust in Him as our Savior. That's the good news. I can go home. And we all will in a little while. God loves us. Doesn't that prove it? God gave His only begotten Son, the only Son of His that never sinned. Wow. I sin, you sin, we all sin. But I can become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know, heirs have to have some relationship to the testator, to the one who is offering the gift. Some of you may have inherited something sometime. Some time ago, my father passed, and he was the second of my parents pass. We thought Mom would live longer, but no, as things would have it, she died first. And then Dad died in 81, and he had something called a will. And it stipulated who the descendants were that his properties would go to. Didn't all go to me. You see, I've got some brothers and sisters. And as a consequence, we decided that we would put all the property under one entity. And since that day in 2000, I have been the one who managed the landlord's share, because that's what Dad basically invested in. He was a farmer, he invested in farms. That makes sense? That's what Dad knew. And lo and behold, when God called me to preach, he was rather upset, to put it mildly, because he planned that I'd be there, that I'd take over. When I left, the little guy that wore the cowboy boots became the main farmer. Picture this, cowboy boots and shorts. 14 years my senior, my junior rather, 14 years my junior. He and my brother, 13 months younger, were the odd couple. Different personalities completely. Now, I am phasing out of that job. Praise the Lord. I'll still take the checks. Thank you very much. But some other capable young men are going to do that. That's good, ain't it? Get things organized. Get things going. Get things in line where they ought to be. That's what Paul is doing with these people here. He said, get your house in order. Get everything right. Organize it all according as the Lord would have you do it. Paul said, I'm free from all men, but I have this burden for people's souls. Furthermore, I have a direct commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. I am an apostle out of due time. I saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. And by the way, here's my commentary. I believe he went to the Lord's seminary for 3 years. That's what he was doing in the backside of the desert. Kind of like Moses. Remember Moses? He thought he was going to straighten things out in Egypt. Well, he got a big mess going when he did that. Right? Had to escape to the desert to get away from Pharaoh. Because he got in hot water. But God found him in the desert. God called him to be the leader of probably 1 million people plus that he would lead through the desert. Could you imagine that? How many of you have seen the Ray Vanderlaan series? Seen some of that? You haven't seen that? Man, you ought to see that. It's good. It's good. He is a Bible scholar plus he knows the country. He knows the way the people lived then. I don't know how they made it. Here's how. They followed God. They listened to God and listened to his direction. By the way, how do you make it well in life? You listen to the one above who will give you guidance and direction, show you the right way. Plus he's left the Holy Spirit inside of you and say, this is the way. That's the way. Not that he talks to you audibly, but he puts things in your heart or in your mind. The right way to do things. Paul said, hey, here's what you've got to do. I've been called by God to be an apostle. I've been the apostle to you. I've showed you the way of salvation and truth. Paul had done that. And he said, further, I'll become whatever it takes to win people to Jesus Christ. I'll become all things to all men in order that I might win some. You know, you go after some you think you're going to win, you end up winning somebody else. That's because God's got a great sense of humor. He's got to have to put up with us, right? You're not convinced. I know he's got a great sense of humor. Paul was one of the most unlikely individuals you would ever think would be one to Christ. A Pharisee of the Pharisees? What did the Pharisees do? How did they think they were going to get saved? Work, 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 work. Let everybody see my work. Let everybody see me pray. They'll see I'm a holy guy all day. They're not with him all the day, right? They don't understand what went through Paul's mind. They don't understand the things Paul thought about. God did. Loved him anyway. Saved him. And not just saved him, called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now that's really funny. Really funny. Here's a Jew, a Benjamite, one of the faithful crowd that we understand and know. They slew a whole bunch of them, right? They had a mass slaughter. and there were hardly any of them left, and they were all weeping. Why are these guys dead? Well, y'all killed them. That's why they're dead. God's got a humor. Sometimes he's got to humor me. I didn't know you knew that, God.
I know all things.
I didn't know you could do that, God.
I can do all things.
Everything he wants to do, right? Can he do that? Yeah. He can do it. He doesn't always choose to do what we want him to do, right? Y'all been there? Some of you have. Just wait. You'll get your chance to understand that. And a little better over on the other side. Paul wanted these people to know the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Knowing Christ, walking with Christ, serving Christ, that was where it was at for Paul. The one who thought he could work his way to heaven is now the one who lives by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. That's where it's at. God's grace. That's the only way any of us get saved. God is gracious, loving, kind, merciful. But you know, he's also a God of judgment. And there's coming a judgment day, one day. You know how to get prepared for that? Ask Jesus in your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Then it'll be a happy day. A happy day. Listen to him every day. Do what he needs you to do. Follow him and serve him. Be disciplined in your spiritual life. I envision that the Apostle Paul couldn't have done most of the things he talked about, because he talked a lot about the Olympic Games. Athletes. Paul was fascinated by them. And he talks about that, the importance of us being disciplined spiritually. Look at it. Know ye not that they which run the race, verse 24, run all, but one receives the prize. One receives the prize. You know, when I was in athletics, there was usually at least three medals. Gold, silver, bronze. And later on, they offered five or more medals. Many times in different events, they offered all the participants medals. And sometimes they give ribbons and it said, participant. That means you weren't good enough to get one of the places. Participant. So we're not going to make anybody feel bad by not getting a medal or a ribbon. We're going to give everybody a ribbon. Guess what? Not everybody gets a ribbon. You follow me? Nothing's free with the Lord. He gives us what we deserve. The only reason you and I deserve heaven is God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. Christ makes it up for us. I'm glad he does, aren't you? Otherwise, we wouldn't have anything to delight in. He gives us all our gifts and abilities. It all comes from him anyway. We need to just glorify him in our bodies, which are his now. We're his servants. Serve the Lord in grace and truth. Honor him. Delight in him. Give Him glory every day and point others in the right way. Amen? It doesn't mean that you have to go down on the street corner and say, hey, brother, you saved? But you can bring up a spiritual conversation. People always saying something that God has a word about. If you're in the book, if you hide the book in your heart, that is God's word, you'll have something to share. A nugget here and there. Amen? Plant those seeds of faith in people's hearts and lives. That's all God asks us to do. Listen to Him. Let Him guide us. Let Him give us the word. He promises He will. Trust Him. He's faithful. And I pray that we will be faithful too. You know, when they used to try to get those medals and things, you know, sometimes they would beat up on each other. Today they have sparring partners, but they have padding, heavy gloves. They don't hit near as hard. Paul said, they used to deny the body. They used to put it under vigorous toil and struggle to gain the prize. Christ has already won the prize. What have I given for Him or to Him? That's the question we ought to be asking ourselves. What have I given to Him? What does Christ want from you? He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Let Him be in control, not you. It's about Him, not us. May we give Him the glory and praise and honor that He deserves, because He alone is worthy of it all. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the reminders that You give us. Thank You for the faithfulness of the few. Lord, today we live in a world that doesn't understand about commitment. A world where people do their own thing. Some who wander aimlessly through life without a care. And some who need to know You as personal Savior. Help us and guide us all, Lord, to do our best for You. Help us to give our best to You every day for Christ's sake. Amen.